Yo, it is Sam Witwer.
You're right there. That's your name. It's all right.
We're actually doing a little brain fart.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah,
it's 4 a.m.
I thought it was maybe now. Sam Huntington. I'm Sam Huntington.
I'm Sam Huntington. Oh. And there's the wolf.
The wolf.
And we have
very special guest who will be joining us for the remainder of these commentaries.
That's right.
Starring as Megan Rath, we have
Mark Pellegrino.
Yes!
Oh God!
Megan is shooting in where is she right now?
She's in Montreal. She's doing a movie called Cyberbully.
Cyberbully.
Which is about a cyborg bully.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
From the future.
From the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, so here we are. She's in the haunted hall.
Yeah. And actually, so the idea was that Slimer did all the writing on the walls.
Which is why it's green.
Yep, which is why it glows
ectoplasmic
green.
Residue.
Just from Slimer, though.
Yes.
So that's a little shout-out to the Ghostbusters fans.
Yes, exactly.
And she's just now realizing that.
Yes, yes. We couldn't get the rights to Ray Parker Jr. because we would have to pay him and... was it Huey Lewis that he stole the song from?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Noticed a little chemistry with you back there.
Like some chemicals?
With Kristen?
Yeah.
That was nice because we shot that little tiny piece MOS, so we actually just got to like say whatever we wanted to, and we were already in a conversation, so that was real.
Plenty of chemistry already.
Lots of chemistry.
By the way, did you notice that these bullies basically take Bernie's shoes off?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah,
pretty insulting.
It is. There's something really degrading.
Yeah, that's what they're doing right now.
They're grabbing his shoes.
Why would they take his shoes off? Super weird.
Yeah. Well, it's the first.
So, it's the last thing I, as a bully,
would do. Yeah. It's like though. I remember when I used to be a bully.
This is intense.
Hey, I'd like to ask you something.
Yeah.
Why no vampire speed right here?
Because there's people everywhere.
Right? Right? That was my theory. But I still would think that... I guess.
Yeah. He can't do it.
Ugh. That is so...
There's people absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
I remember Jason Spivak was very cold. This is when things started getting cold
on
the set. And he was laying there kind of shivering and just being a major trooper and what do they do? They set up some sort of table above his chest so that I could not crush his rib cage.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that is a streak. That is not a person.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you ask Kane about
that? No, I have the poster
for a long time. I thought that was a person.
Yeah, so, right.
But the poster is in the other room, and you can take a very close look at it. It's a streak.
Yeah, it's a streak, right?
What's the significance of the streak as opposed to a human form?
Maybe it's a blood streak.
It's a smear.
It's a smear.
It's actually,
Yeah.
There's so many dirty things going through my mind right now.
So many things, yeah.
For schmear, that could represent the schmear.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just going to move on from that. Okay, here's something interesting. In the script, Aiden has this scene with Cindy, and then he excuses himself, and they say that he finds someplace private, and he has a little freak out. Or basically, you can see that he's really going through
right.
it. You know, he cries or something. And so the script said he does something. And I loved that because that went along with what I felt was the key to the character, is that he never shows anyone what's really going on with him. You know, that he keeps it private from everyone. And then, because we were always very short on time, the latest edition of the script, that scene was cut, Aiden being somewhere private. So what it left me with was I'd have to play this scene... Because Aiden, after this, goes on a tear, and he goes to the... He goes and gets all messed up, basically.
Right.
And it's all because of this. He goes on this tear, and it's a very key moment. So you have to set it up with this scene. And because they cut Aiden going off by himself and crying, or whatever the script said, that left me with saying, okay, well, I have to play that scene in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very strongly against that. I'm like, he would never do this in front of Cindy. He wouldn't do it. So I told Paolo, I'm like, we can do this really quick. So we just grabbed the camera, we threw it in this closet, and we shot this really quick. This
yeah,
moment.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's moments like this that make the character work for me. I
think. Yeah.
Because
you see his well, because, remorse.
Yeah, the idea that he's been in a drug haze is almost his entire life, so he doesn't have the tools to deal with these
right,
things.
Right.
He is emotionally totally raw because
right.
you know he hasn't been dealing with his own humanity, and he hasn't been dealing with life on you know life's terms. He's been always going to the addiction to deal with emotional issues. So Aiden should be, strangely, even though he's 200 and some years old and he's supposed to be wise and all that, he should also be extremely raw and youthful in that way, in that he doesn't know when he's going to have an emotional reaction. He can't really predict that.
Sure.
He doesn't have enough experience with it. So, by the way...
Yeah, Pat Kiley.
Yes, he's so good.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing in this episode.
And Megan and Pat together are wonderful.
Yep. It's nice to see this... Sally character actually have someone she can actually like connect with and touch, you know,
yes.
and, like, actually, you know, have that physical connection with.
This is a character that I made no secret that I'd like to see back in the second season.
Yeah, me too, for real. But you, but spoiler alert. We'd like to see him back.
Oh.
In the second season.
Know what
does
I'm
that,
saying?
Does that make any sense?
You know,
I don't know.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Does it matter?
It matters to me.
He does a beautiful job in this set.
And a beautiful jaw.
Beautiful jaw.
he's really, really good. There's a scene later, which I should say, to talk about later, but his confession about what's wrong with him
yeah.
is extremely grounded.
Yeah, it's
because I think the mistake that people make with these ghost, vampire, and werewolf characters is they don't really ground them in anything. They just kind of they forget that no, these are people.
Mm.
First and foremost, they're people, and you need to play them like people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I just loved about his performance is he was a guy.
All right, I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
So, what do you think about Ghost's hair blowing in the wind and being, you know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that? Thoughts?
Mark.
You know, like...
Yeah, I think it's just an unavoidable circumstance,
right
there. Nothing that one can really do about it. But I did think, you know, she's not supposed to be affected by the environment around her. You can't touch her, right?
Right,
well,
right.
But she, actually, she is affected by the environment. What she's not affected by... She can't affect. She can be affected, but she cannot affect anything. The couch affects her because she can sit on the couch. The chairs, everything about the environment, she can, you know, sit on the counter. She can do things like that.
Right, right.
So the wind would be the same thing. She believes in the wind. She believes in the chairs. She believes in walls.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they affect her. What she can't do is reach out and touch someone or affect the environment back.
Interesting.
That's why there ain't nothing wrong with her.
No,
her,
well, I mean, it was unavoidable on the day. So there was nothing they could do about it.
But I think it's also consistent with the rules that we lay out.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my question.
This is...
yeah, I know. I remember when I read this, I had that same oh shit moment that you all are having.
Right? Remind me something here. Didn't the professor, the old gray wolf, didn't he say to you...
Yeah, yeah, you're going to keep... Basically, if you
wait,
stay
did
up...
Wait, did you do that episode?
No.
Okay, never mind.
So there's no professor. There's
okay,
no professor.
Okay.
It's not.
But there was some indication in the script that as you progress, there exists the possibility, at least, that you could turn into a wolf even when there isn't a full moon. Is that right?
No.
I didn't get that.
No,
okay.
No. But, you know, Josh's primary fear in life is that he's going to harm the people he loves. So that's,
right.
You know, that's why he's finally let this girl in. And, now, you know, he's kind of... turning the round in the corner to fear, you know, of hurting her because he actually has real genuine feelings
mm-hmm.
for her.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, how it manifests. But I love that little dream sequence. It scared the bejesus out of me. I remember
yeah.
when I read it.
Same here.
When I was reading it, I was like, wait a minute. That can't be real because he does only turn on the full moon.
I read a draft somewhere. I know I didn't make this up. That there was some suggestion that you could get so far or something could go wrong where you could actually turn at random moments. It wouldn't happen often.
Never.
I don't remember that.
Never.
Huh.
Never. You're wrong.
I guess I'm wrong.
Mm.
Huh.
That's an interesting thought. It'd be kind of a cool thing to play around with in season two.
Yeah, yeah.
But not that I'm aware of.
Well, I think it would play well to the whole the rage metaphor.
Also, think it would you know, elevate the stakes.
The stakes. We don't have enough stakes.
Yeah, more stakes.
Yeah.
More stakes.
There's an implication that the wolf takes over.
Right.
Yes.
Oh wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You see?
No.
You remember what I'm talking about?
I do, but it's not the right thing.
Ah, right. Well, we'll talk about it next episode. So I'm not entirely wrong.
Not entirely wrong,
I'm mostly wrong.
Right. In one regard, you're right.
Yes.
Another regard,
I'm wrong.
Here's your binge scene is coming up.
Yeah, this is awesome.
This
I love the troughs.
The trough. We finally get to see what's in that. There are actually these troughs, which, by the way, were always there. Well, I guess what is the implication, Mark? That there's a drain in the middle of the floor, which there is, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the floors are metal, and there's drains that feed the blood off of the troughs. And then what you end up doing with it is anyone's guess. You bathe it.
I think I package it and sell it.
You filter it, package it. It's like bottled water, isn't it?
Bottled water. Community.
Yeah, blood springs.
You could probably strain it, or, you know, get the dirt out of it or something. Because there's probably
you filter it.
Yeah, you filter it.
You filter it.
Extra,
you
put it through a Brita. Extra minerals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, this is I do love the way you guys play this scene, because this is a very it's all developing like a Polaroid.
Yeah,
and I love that. It's a great line. But this is what you're asking her to do is entirely unreasonable.
No, yeah, and honestly, like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, in reading the script, I remember being like really angry at Josh,
mm-hmm.
being like, "What are you doing, dude?"
People
like,
are all angry at Josh.
Yeah, yeah. You can't just do that. You can't just slow down and like after you
especially
know.
When you're pretty much stopped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're already kind of stagnant. So it's like, what are you talking about doing here?
Yeah.
You know, either let her go or, you know, keep going. Don't be such a wuss.
Yeah.
Basically,
he wants to hold on to her, but he does want to. I mean, the thing is, his circumstances are so odd.
Yeah.
That you can I can wrap my brain around what he's thinking. I mean, and furthermore, I mean, I think. People have said crazy things like this in relationships.
Totally, absolutely. No. We've heard these things. It's a very real moment. It's what makes the show, but mm-hmm. but it doesn't lessen my anger at the character.
Sure.
You know? And playing it, it was like hard because I was like so not wanting to.
And you feel like Nora is a champ for having taken
absolutely,
that
yeah.
Just...
Well, then she does a very reasonable thing. Yes. Subsequently.
She does. So. She does.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure
out. How was that, by the way, that
eating so much pudding, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, it was excellent, right?
It was a lot of pudding.
How
were these girls?
They were great.
Were
totally
they good? They were good sports?
Yeah. This was, this was an edgy... I don't know what to say. It was a difficult scene to shoot, because...
How did you block this? How did you shoot it? Did you shoot it? Was it all basically like, we're going to have these
two
cameras
wandering around, and I was just kind of going nuts.
Really?
Basically.
So they lit the world, basically.
Yes.
And just kind of like let
Well,
you
yeah,
go.
I mean, there was like a track by which I should follow, like, I should be in certain areas, but it was chaotic.
And they played with focus, and they played with different speeds, and they played with your nipples.
Now, Aiden is actually going to murder this chick.
Yeah.
He's in such a...
bloodlust, and he's so high from
high, so out of his mind. He's basically, he's high, so he's not really thinking. And the old Aiden is coming out. Right
it's
now.
Also like, isn't that kind of the idea though? Too is let's just try and kiss her.
Now, when we were going nuts on all this stuff, I'm stumbling around, and I think I yelled out in the middle of I yelled out in the middle of a take. I said, "Give me some blood from my mouth." So, and then I went over to the couch and threw it up.
That's awesome. If I had a nickel for every time I puked blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yummy.
But that is the idea, though, also, like, for a vampire. Like, you feed on life, right? It's not just all about the blood, always.
Well,
right?
the life thing is actually, that's a philosophical difference. Have we hit that episode yet?
No.
No, okay. No, we haven't hit there yet.
But that is kind of the idea, though, anyway, is that there is that it's beyond the blood sometimes. It's all about taking complete control and, like, controlling this one thing and, like, ending someone's life, right? That's got to be an element to it, right?
I always took that as more of a philosophical difference.
But I don't know about that. It can't be, since live blood. There's a distinction between live blood and the blood that's in the bag.
Sure, but I am
to strength.
But Aiden was just drinking live blood from living hosts, but he didn't necessarily have to kill them, and that's because of the way that Bishop.
My innovations, yeah.
Yeah, your innovations.
But but using the restraint alone indicates that the idea for a vampire, the ideal situation, is to drain them dry, right?
That is, I always took it that is like the ultimate indulgence. And
right.
And in fact, Mark and I, there's a scene in, what is it, episode 2, where in the 70s we go and we kill a room full of people, which
right.
Mark and I had talked that was a major achievement on the part, because our vampires were a mafia family.
Mm.
So if you go in, you want to murder a room full of people,
that's
pretty challenging in terms of eliminating forensic evidence and making sure you get away with it. And so, you know, Bishop and Aiden together were kind of a legendary team who could pull off these really amazing things. But in terms of, I never took it that if you kill someone, you get some sort of added benefit.
Physically.
Not physically.
Just more like emotional.
Yeah.
Right.
Aesthetic.
Yes.
Right, yeah, it's like
the pleasure of a predator.
That's what it is.
Taking down.
Right.
And completing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I love the fact that Rebecca saves Aiden. There's a nice little reversal there.
Yeah, yeah. Or she thinks she is.
She thinks she is, and then she ends up making not the best choice.
Right, yes.
So
I want to rewind a second to the scene with Sally and
Pat,
the Nick character, in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and there's like in the line at the kitchen, you know, in the behind the scenes kind of thing. I love that scene because it's like they're just moving kind of seamlessly through this flow of this is also crazy. Oh my god.
He had to spend a lot of time in a tank for that.
Yeah. Upside down, literally, in a tank.
Was he upside down?
Yeah. And
Are you serious?
They had a really hard tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to shoot that up right side up, and then...
They had a really hard time keeping him upside down. They did they did it a million different ways. I think the take that they ended up using, that he was actually upside down. Because it actually does affect the way your clothing moves.
Sure.
And,
yeah, it does. You're absolutely right.
You can see his midriff was showing.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. You couldn't shoot that right side up. It wouldn't be... Yeah.
Well, they did. I mean, they shot it a bunch of different ways just to kind of test it out.
Oh,
but they had, like, so many problems with, like, water clarity and, you know, different bubbles and, like, different things. It's really hard for them to get it clearly.
Mm.
This is a really beautiful scene too. You look like a Secret Service agent.
Yeah, yeah. I'm there to just make sure that no one gets out of line.
Right.
I've got an earpiece.
And
I don't know
it really looks like you have an earpiece.
Well hidden.
Yeah.
Eventually, I also go find Neo and try to fight him.
Exactly.
The Bernie story with him dying. It's some sad stuff.
It is.
There's an oddly life-affirming thing going on with these two while we're dealing with death on the other side of the equation.
Yep.
And it's funny because they're actually dead.
Right, yeah. I just like the idea. I think I like the what the restaurant scene represents, in that it's this whole new world that's opened up to Sally that, to be honest, we haven't really explored yet. So,
well, she's been
She can go anywhere. She can do anything. She can see it. It's one of perhaps maybe the only benefit of being a ghost is you can go anywhere you want at any time.
Which is, if you take that to its metaphoric truth, it's like if you don't have any attachments, you can
really
go anywhere, do anything. So either there are upsides and downsides.
Sure.
But I really do love these two people dealing with each other. And I love his whole, I drowned,
I know. He plays it perfectly. It's really, really nicely done.
Yeah.
I think he hated that scarf.
Did he?
Yeah, I think I remember him saying he hated that scarf.
He wears it like a child.
I think he looks really sharp.
He looks sharp. Yeah, it's funny. This is how I met him, dressed like this.
Yeah.
So I just assume this is his style.
Sure, exactly. He's a TA.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Totally. He is perfectly cast for this, though.
Yep.
In terms of who they say Nick Fenn was and what his job was and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you do also understand Sally a little bit better, knowing that these are the people that she associated with, and she's, you know, when she's right. in college, and this is what she was into.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny is a little bit atypical for her,
sure,
considering because we she's basically much, understand
much
Sally
more of a free spirit than he was allowing her.
Yeah, when we learn that about Sally, we also learn that she doesn't say funny, clever things because she's a TV character. She says funny, clever things because she's funny and clever and was a real intellectual, curious girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that shot is...
It is really beautiful. Crazy.
This was cold, again, and it was raining. It was... Oh, boy. It just got so cold.
It did. It was kind of bitter. It was raw.
It really was. Yeah. But this day actually was the first day... Now, we're in episode what? Did we say nine? We're in episode nine. This was the first day that we went home early.
Wow, really?
Wow. Remember this, Mark? This is the day that we shot... Bullies. Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, I mean, we're assuming people have seen this episode.
Right.
This is not the first way, the way to
watch
it.
Right.
But with the bullies, when we discover their bodies in that perhaps Bernie had killed them and you read me the riot act, that was the same day of shooting. And we actually went home early. I was floored. I couldn't believe it.
Didn't hurt that there was a major deluge.
Oh, yeah.
Before they yelled cut, the
right as the camera pulls up, it's happening.
And they were trying to figure out how to reset. And I remember saying, guys, and they're like, yeah, but it started raining at the end of the take. And I remember saying, guys, look. And well,
that was the one that kind of pulls up the
wall. You know what? We'll save that story for when we see it.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that we never say. And you think it would come up. We never say that Bernie won't grow into adulthood. We never say that. The biggest problem is that he might hurt someone. And he has no control. He's too immature to deal with this, right? Now, you know, many people... I think the safe assumption is that Bernie will not grow up and he will be a child the whole time. But you think that I would have mentioned it if that was the case.
Like his brain won't develop. He will remain a child.
Did you ever interview with a vampire?
She remained a child.
She remained a child.
And she became very resentful of that fact. But
then she became mature and were rather sophisticated.
Exactly. She became mature because of her experience, but her body never changed. Now,
no.
Bernie, I'm assuming that our vampire rules also say that he is now dead, so he's not growing.
I think that's the idea.
But here's the thing. Wouldn't Aiden or someone have said that? That would have been one of the first things that I would say, like, you just doomed this kid to a terrible life. Not just that he's going to hurt someone, but like the big issue for me is he's not mature.
Yeah.
And we have to watch him now.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, but we can watch him grow up right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. Do our vampires, do they grow into maturity? Could that happen? And is that the biggest problem? And if he could grow into maturity, it's all the more tragic that I end him.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Because he could have some form of life.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I got a lot of
spoilers.
A lot of people.
Well, but again, we're assuming they've seen this.
They've seen this.
You know,
a lot of people said, "Why is Josh being such an asshole to Sally? He should just let her kiss in the kitchen. She's not doing anything wrong." I see what they're saying.
Her
a little bit.
Her butt's on the kitchen table.
Yeah. Well, the sex cloud. He says he's going to breathe it in.
I'm on Josh's side. They're sitting there in the kitchen. He just wants to get some food.
He just wants to
crying out.
He wants to get some frosted flakes, and they're totally making out. By the way, the whole sex cloud thing?
Yeah.
If I saw that, I'd be like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
Get it out of my kitchen.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what it is.
Particular.
Do it
it's
somewhere
like
else.
A sneeze cloud. You don't want to walk through it.
No,
it's
that's
not
true.
Kind of
that's
fart.
Very true.
It's
they
like a ghostly fart. Ghost
okay.
fart.
A ghost
it's
fart. True. They can go to a more appropriate place.
They can.
Ghost farticles.
Farticles.
Yeah.
And by the way, I did see this being shot, and I remember being impressed with how far he went with the drowning.
Yeah.
Because a lot of actors, for whatever reason, just don't allow themselves to go beyond a certain point or to make themselves look foolish, and he was just going for it, and it's very uncomfortable when you watch how far he went with it.
Yeah, it was. It was really... But, like, You're right. With that kind of stuff, if you don't commit 100%,
then
it's going to look stupid.
And that's the thing. That's actually, oddly, why some actors don't commit, is they
right.
feel they're going to look silly.
Right.
But if you don't, you are 100% going to look silly.
Right, 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 right.
This,
I love those two shots.
That
where
shot. Like
his feet hanging.
Yeah, like he's
hung himself.
Hangman thing.
Yeah, dude.
Exactly. It's really frightening.
It's a Grim Reaper look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, want some red vines?
No, but I'd like to suck your blood.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Don't eat. Hey.
So, all right. So here's a good question.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Was he going to?
Oh, he was definitely going to.
You think so?
Absolutely. He didn't know what he was doing.
Interesting.
But he was definitely going to. See, the thing is, you asked in an earlier episode, you know, when the vampire thing happens, do you lose yourself? And my answer was, no more than you lose yourself when you're overcome by, like, sexual desire for someone that you're with.
Okay,
you
so
know?
You can't. So it is controllable.
It's intense. It's very intense.
Yeah.
But it's controllable. It's or no more than a guy who's like, God, I really, really, really want a cigarette. You're Aiden is still Aiden. Bernie is still Bernie. But now Bernie has these urges that he doesn't understand or know how to control. So he goes, no, I wasn't going to hurt her. It's like, only because he didn't know that was what was going to result of that.
Interesting.
He was definitely going to hurt her.
Cool.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. It's,
yeah.
It's
sure looks like he's going to.
Oh, he's going to. I mean, you know, he can hear her blood. He doesn't know, because he says, Aiden, I feel kind of weird. He says later, and then I say, well, you're hungry. He doesn't know what that feels like yet.
Right.
He doesn't understand what any of this is about.
Right.
He just knows that he's a little bit out of his element. But he's feeling all right, generally. He just feels, you know...
Different. A superhero.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
He feels awake, but he also... Oh. Dr. Reed.
Dr. Reed. Nora.
Nora, you simply do a drink.
Do a drink.
Can't cuss her to my job. It's going to cost someone their life one of these
my
days.
My brother.
Dr. Reed sounds a little shaggy.
No, he's very. But it's appropriate, though.
Can't cuss her to my job, but it's going to cost someone their life one of these days. Nora Spock. By the way, just for the record, you against a full-on doctor, that is a threat.
Yeah.
That is a major threat.
Code blue.
I mean, I do love that Josh is surrounded.
You know, that was the first time, I think, in all of the episodes that I see your knowledge as a doctor.
Yeah, right, yeah,
and
yeah.
I hope they play that up more, because you were... In MIT.
That's the idea.
And I'd like to see some of that action.
I was in med school.
Yeah.
Me too,
yeah.
By the way.
Shocking and surprising to other people that you as an orderly might know things, might save somebody one day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just a little hint.
By the
yes.
way, I you know, again, little make-believe TV land thing. I don't believe MIT has a med school. However, that is, in this version of our world...
That's true.
That is where you went.
That is true, isn't
how
it?
How do you know that?
I don't know how I know that.
But
I
it is the, it is a technical college.
Look, I could be wrong, but I don't think they have a med school. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm gonna get on Twitter right
you,
now.
We really should look it up. But you know what? People who would know that are so used to forgiving TV shows for being wrong about things like this.
That's
you know?
True.
My buddy will watch, you know, Grey's Anatomy, or he will watch House, and he's a doctor, and he goes, "Yeah, it's fun. It's so not accurate."
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
It's television.
Who cares about accurate? We're here to be entertaining.
I will say this.
Right. And MIT is a massively prestigious.
This is
huge.
That's exactly right.
And I want to see more of that MIT.
I want to see more
me
MIT.
Too. No, me too. And in fact, you know, people have, since we got picked up for season two, asked me. This is a freaking shocker, by the way.
Yeah.
That little kid's being
pissed. I'm giving you the eye. I'm giving you the stink eye.
Oh, yeah.
You are getting the stink eye, buddy.
The blood eye.
Okay.
But anyway, that's kind of that's my answer is like. I would like to see Josh go back to med school. I would like to see him use some of that big brain.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that would be really cool.
Here's a nice confrontation between you and I.
And this was the last scene of the day, and we ended up going home early. But what was... Now, what Mark was talking about earlier is that... Watch as this scene ends, it will start to downpour with rain.
Really?
And
you actually see it?
Oh, yes,
yeah,
you do.
It's already happening as we speak.
To happen?
We're kind of protected by, I think, something over us, if
sure.
I'm not mistaken. But then...
Now, watch this.
Soon.
It's coming.
The camera crane.
Here we go.
The camera cranes away,
It's cranny out. Now watch. Watch.
Oh, yeah.
You can
it's
start
coming
to
down.
See
it's
it.
Coming
there
down a little heavier.
There it is.
Street,
there
yeah.
it is.
And it's getting actually progressively heavier during this shot.
Right.
You can watch it get heavier. And it's. And remember, they're like, well, but we only got one shot, and it's raining, and it's not going to match with the scene. And I remember saying to the director, I'm like, you know, I think you got it.
Yeah.
I think it's actually cool that it starts raining at the end.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, we went home early.
I do love that scene, though, because it is kind of like one of those moments of Bishop that's like that kind of morally, like you side with him, you know?
Yeah,
you sympathize with him. You know, you're like, he's making a point, and...
One of the problems with hiring Mark Pellegrino as your quote-unquote villain is, well, he's not going to be a villain.
Right, right.
He's going to have a very defined viewpoint.
Right.
And it's going to be one that, you know, in our case, convinced us.
Right, yeah.
We had many questions throughout the season of like, okay, so wait, why is Bishop bad? Because
he
seems more reasonable than, you know.
I think the arguments that you and I have throughout the series are very legitimate.
Totally
legitimate. Does one follow one's nature as God intended it, or do you try to rise above it and be something else?
Totally.
Yeah. But the way that Bishop wanted to follow his own nature seemed somewhat civilized, and we get into that I think a little bit later with the Dutch.
It really is kind of that 50-50 thing where you don't really know. Who's in the right? Who's
but then wrong. That civilization, quote unquote, is tempered by something a little bit long range with respect to Bishop.
Yes,
right.
I think it's just practical.
Totally.
Yeah.
It may not end that way.
Bishop is a pretty practical guy in many ways.
This scene is crazy. By the way, I thought you were going to throw that at him. I know how it feels. When your kid won't eat. and you end up going, God, please, just take a bite of these potatoes. I will give you $1 million if you take a bite of these chicken nuggets.
What's great, though, is he tries to attack me right there. And
and
we get a feeling, because we walk in and Rebecca's screaming and Bernie is kind of yelling, right?
Yeah.
So you go, wow, she's really overacting until he tries to attack Aiden. And you go, this is what she's been dealing with.
Right, right.
And he's been... He's
just
been really out of control.
Yeah.
And we realize, oh, okay, no, this is a real problem. But I do love that she's cradling him at the
literally
same time.
Restraining him.
And restraining him.
Yeah.
Restraining him, but cradling him.
Yeah.
Well,
it's that old, the restraining turns into a cradle almost.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. I think Sarah played this beautifully.
She did.
And this is a great moment where he's look at that. He just looks like he's gonna destroy the world, right?
Yeah.
And then he does this little he looks dangerous.
Yeah, he does.
Creepy. And he doesn't know the sad thing is he doesn't know what's happening to him.
Ghost boner. He is like
Rebecca and Aiden's relationship is not
cuts and dry. It's not traditional.
they have problems connecting. Things get in the way a lot.
Hmm.
You know, it's Nick Wexler said, you know, he's like, you know, I wish we had known Rebecca more before she was turned, but the answer to that is you have to start the series somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And something dramatic has to happen and you have to propel this series forward.
Right.
And so inevitably you always start with someone going, well wait, but who's she and who's he and what's the background here? Because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it would have been nice to tell, you know, oh, but they were friends and Josh was friends with Rebecca and they all worked at the hospital together and this was all background stuff, but you know, you do actually have to start the series at some point.
Yeah.
So
I love the way that Pat plays this scene, by the way. He's having just come back from drowning.
Yeah.
And he's just like... I remember, it was funny, because I walked on the set when they were shooting this, and I was like, wait, why is he, like, out of breath and, like, all watery-eyed, and what's going on? And then I kind of remembered that he has just come back from drowning, and it's like, you know, pretty traumatic.
Pretty traumatized right now. And here's the interesting thing. Sally just kind of, at the slightest provocation, I feel like, ditches this guy.
That's what I was... I did want to say something about it. I was hesitant to they break up? I mean, just...
for little really reason.
No and reason.
No. I know. It's weird.
My thing is this. I mean, I think the reason is pretty clear. Sally is nowhere near being able to have a relationship. She's accusing him of being, you know, oh, well, I need to get away from you because you have issues. Sally's got 15 times the issues this guy has.
Yeah.
And she's accusing him.
Right.
And in fact, there were other lines in the script that made it clearer, and I actually think it's cool that they took them out so that you can kind of decide this. But, you know, for anyone that... I watched this and I guess when I read the script, I'm like, wow, it just kind of goes away. But then I watched it, I'm like, oh, if you're going to be really... If you're really going to take a close look at this, it's very clear that she is just not in a place where she can ever...
Right, yeah.
This is a rebound for her.
Yeah.
And this is why I would like to see Nicholas Fenn again, because I think he could be potentially really good for her.
Yeah, I agree.
But she needs to get over all the Danny stuff.
Yeah.
And again, how often do we accuse someone of what's actually happening with us anyway?
Yeah, it's kind of a... It is, that's the way that it absolutely should be taken, is that it's her... If this was poorly written, it would be, it's not you, it's me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It would be,
which, you know...
right.
I guess most people's ex-girlfriends and ex-boyfriends are poorly written caricatures of themselves.
Right, right.
Because that is
a pretty common thing.
It's a pretty
thing,
common yeah. thing. You know what was funny? I was talking to Nick Wexler, and he there was something... He was dealing with some... I don't know. He was talking to some chick in the middle of something, and she just goes... I don't know, Nick. I just don't know. And I remember just laughing because I'm like, why is it that I've heard that more a few times? That tone of voice, that, but you know, there are certain cliches that make their way into human behavior that you go, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Sam. I just don't know. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Yep.
There are funny things like that, and I don't know what it has to do with the show, but, you know, I guess you try to write a show to stay away from the cliches. But
right.
if you actually analyze a lot of human behavior, it's filled with those same cliches.
Stereotypes. For
yeah. Mark, what was your take on because we didn't talk about this, Bishop's whole thing about the child vampire thing when we were shooting it. What was your thought on that?
Well, I think it's going to have a punchline here in a moment.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Punchline is coming up. I can talk about it now, or I could.
But it seems like Bishop, what he was saying was also, well, again, we're assuming people have seen this, but it seems like what Bishop was saying was absolutely something he believed.
Using a truth to achieve a practical
right,
end.
Right,
exactly.
It's like the devil himself. He's gonna get what he wants, and he's gonna tell you the truth about it, but in the end, it's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love this scene.
Yeah, it is great.
Not just because I'm in it. Actually, normally I don't like the scenes that I'm in, but this one
explains
it's
a lot.
It's Josh legitimately doing his best to own up to explain what's wrong with him as much as he feels like he can.
And she
telling her he still wants to be with her.
And we then learn, if I'm correct about the scene, we then learn essentially why someone like Nora.
Right.
Is so attracted to Josh.
Right. Well, because she's got issues as well.
Yes.
Which is, you know, pretty common. But, it is kind of ambiguous, kind of what is wrong with what or what happened, kind of. But it is...
Or whether it gave her superpowers. I mean,
right.
Was it a radioactive ooze?
Right, yeah. It might be. She got bitten by a weird spider.
Yeah.
She was
bit by a radioactive stomach.
Exactly.
And it gave her stomach
right.
powers.
Yeah.
She
can do 2,000 crunches.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It might not look pretty, but it's got it where it counts.
Yep.
Like the Millennium Falcon. I mean, I'll tell you what, that's pretty intense.
It's very hardcore.
And on a serious note, it's something. I mean, okay, speaking about my friend Matt, who's a doctor, he's told me some real horror stories, right? You look at something like that and you go, God, who, you know, she implies that someone did that to her.
Yeah.
And the implication would be that, what, like boiling water or something. My buddy Matt, who's his doctor, has told me, I've heard 24 stories where things like that would result in that kind of a wound have occurred and were inflicted upon people in situations where maybe they didn't necessarily understand what they were doing.
Right.
But you know, he's seen some ugly stuff.
Well, it is a nice moment. I remember Kristen found out about that kind of wound
a little late in the game.
Yeah, when she was reading that script, which was kind of unfortunate for her, I think, just because she would have played some stuff that we had already shot quite differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We had already been intimate several times leading up to the point of her almost revealing it. And in my opinion, we've all got something kind of weird, you know, physically about us. I mean, if you don't, then you're an Adonis and bravo. But I'm always one to kind of like get it out of the way. You know what I mean? If I've got something wrong with me, like just be like, this is what's wrong with me. You just should know that before you see me naked. You know?
Yeah.
And it seems like that's something that would definitely have come up. But
how many times are you physical before this moment? Is it just the
you
one
pulled
time?
Her pants down and took her
from twice.
What you?
Twice.
Twice.
Once on the couch.
Once on the couch.
Where I get up and I can't do it, mm-hmm. and that's definitely leading up to sex, and then the time that we actually do it in the break room. So
this was horrifying, and in fact, I think a lot of audience members may have seen this coming, and I think that's actually good because it makes you dread this entire scene.
Right. Yeah.
Some people didn't see it coming, and I think that is also good.
I also kind of love this because...
And also, check out... That's an improvised stake. Well, I remember having that conversation with Jeremy and Anna. We're going to learn everything about Aiden, depending on what prop we bring to the table. And
right.
I think it should be a stick that he's sharpened. He's figured out a way to improvise a stake at the last minute. Like, you know... Because we need to know, when did he decide to do this? And it should have been... Pretty much, very immediate decision.
Right.
He didn't think about this when he went to the hotel. And
right.
When he realized he had to drive away, he started mulling that over, and then at some point made the call and fashioned that. Which is just horrifying. Really, really, really horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I suggested at one point, and I think this is just me, this is... the fact that I loved in the end of The Mist, and I don't want to spoil The Mist for anyone, but in the end of The Mist, the little boy sees what's about to happen to him before it happens. And I suggested, and we shot a version where Bernie turns around and looks at me before I do it.
Oof.
And I actually think it's the thing that I say about putting an animal down on how it doesn't, so it doesn't hurt.
Mm.
It goes better with him not seeing.
Yeah,
do this. Doesn't make it any easier for Aiden. In fact,
it's a beautiful scene, by the way. Just there, it's really well done.
And here's where the deeper machinations are revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, and Mark, I love that you understood what Aiden was up to here. What really also what Rebecca was up to. But I love that what was Aiden thinking deep inside like that? Which, by the way, I love Vince. I think he's so good on
this
show.
He really is.
But I've also developed a Marcus impression.
Yeah, a good one.
Hey, how you feeling? Better right after last night? he's so good. But that you understand what the situation was here.
But once again, the overarching plan must be achieved.
The objective. And we will be back with you on episode 10, which is... got a title that I don't know.
I don't care. So that is...
Yeah,
episode
10.
I don't care at all.
I don't care.
Yep.
All right, see you then.
Bye-bye.
Poop!